read verses 12 through verse 18. Now David was the son of that Ephrathite of Bethlehem, Judah, whose name was Jesse. And he had eight sons. And the man went among men for an old man in the days of Saul. And the three eldest sons of Jesse went and followed Saul to the battle. And the names of his three sons that went to the battle were Eliab, the firstborn, next unto him Abinadab, and the third Shammah. And David was the youngest, and the three eldest followed Saul. But David went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. And the Philistines drew near morning and evening and presented himself 40 days. And Jesse said unto David his son, Take now for thy brethren an ephah of parched corn and these 10 loaves, and run to the camp to thy brethren. And carry these 10 cheeses unto the captain of their 1,000, and look how thy brethren fare, and take their pledge. Again, we have here the entire 17th chapter is the biblical record of David and Goliath. Again, it's something we've heard since we were little children, but it's more than just a children's Bible story. It's a vivid illustration that we serve a God who's greater than all, and who can take care of the situations that appear to be hopeless. Again, it's a picture of real life for God's people. It serves as instruction for God's people. What we read here in this 17th chapter is how that God uses man to do the miraculous. And what we have here is a major turning point in the life of David. Something that changed his life completely. Something that changed his destiny. Now, what we've just read here in verses 12 through 18, they are a part of the account. Yet, when considering the account of David and Goliath, no one talks about what we've just read in verses 12 through 18. In our text, the verses we just read, there's nothing spectacular in those verses. There's no great drama. There's no special effects. Nothing really exciting in those verses. And therefore, when most people look at the account of David and Goliath, these verses are passed over, given no thought, given no concern whatsoever. I dare say that most have never heard these verses preached from when considering the account of David and Goliath. But again, they are part of the account. And I believe they're a very important part of the account. Our text verses explain how it came about that David arrived at the place where the Philistines and Israel were facing each other for war. It tells us how he got there. David and Goliath would have never happened had he not gotten there. And these verses tell us how he got there. Our text verses reveal a very important principle when it comes to being used of God. And if we were to ask, do you want to be mightily and miraculously used of God? Most here, if not all, would without hesitation answer yes, most certainly. I want to be used of God. I want to be mightily used of God. And if we were to ask, do you desire the opportunity to be greatly and miraculously used of God? Again, the answer would be yes, most definitely. Well, our text verses reveal a very important principle that leads to being used of God in a mighty, mighty way. As you look at David, as you look at the incident of David and Goliath, we see that it was a moment of, once David arrives at that spot, and once he realizes what is going on, it was a moment of great opportunity for David. It was a moment of great possibility for David. And again, our text tells us what brought David to that opportunity. What brought David to that possibility? Again, these verses are part of the account of David and Goliath, though they're hardly ever mentioned. When someone tells the story, when someone preaches upon it, these verses are, again, they're hardly ever mentioned. The vast majority of times, they're just passed over without any consideration. And by so doing, an extremely important biblical principle is missed. One that it would do us all well to learn. I want to speak tonight on how to enter the opportunity of a Goliath moment. How to enter the opportunity of a Goliath moment. What we see here is that we have to take the position of a servant. And that's our first point. Take a position of a servant. By way of background, if we go back to chapter 15, the Lord announced to Samuel in chapter 15 that he had rejected Saul as king. That news greatly discouraged Samuel. And you can read of that there in 1 Samuel 15. Should have had you turn to 1 Samuel 16 because we want to go there. But notice in chapter 16 and verse 1, "And the Lord said unto Samuel, how long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel?" And then God instructed Samuel. He said, "Fill thine horn with oil and go. I will send thee to Jesse, for I have provided me a king among his sons." Samuel, in verse 2, questioned God. And Samuel said, "How can I go? If Saul hear it, he will kill me." And the Lord gave him further instruction. And the Lord said, "Take a heifer with thee, and say, I am come to sacrifice to the Lord. And call Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show thee what thou shalt do. And thou shalt anoint unto me him whom I name unto thee." So Samuel was to call for a sacrifice. He was to invite Jesse and his sons. And it would be one of those sons that God would have Samuel to anoint as the next king. And then notice in beginning with verse 6, so they're at the sacrifice, "And it came to pass, when they were come in, that he looked on Eliab," remember that's the oldest, "and said, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. But the Lord said unto Samuel, Look not on his countenance, or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Then Jesse called Abinadab, and made him pass before Samuel. And he said, Neither hath the Lord chosen this. Then Jesse made Shammah to pass by, and he said, Neither hath the Lord chosen this. Again, Jesse made seven of his sons. So three are given by name, and then all total, seven, passed before Samuel. And Samuel said unto Jesse, The Lord hath not chosen these. So seven of Samuel's sons passed before Samuel, and the Lord repeatedly said, Samuel, this is not the one. This is not the one. That led Samuel to ask Jesse in verse 11, Do you have any other sons? And it was at this point that Jesse mentions his youngest son, David, and he said, He keepeth sheep. He's a shepherd. Very lowly position. He's in the position of a servant. David is brought before Samuel. And in verse 12, And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and withal of a beautiful countenance and goodly to look on. And the Lord said to Samuel, Arise, anoint him, for this is he. This is he. This is the future king. And we see in verse 13, Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. The Spirit of the Lord came upon David. That's key. The Spirit of the Lord being upon an individual is key to getting the opportunity to face Goliath. To have victory over Goliath. We then read in verses 14 and 15 concerning Saul that an evil spirit from the Lord came upon him. That shows us that the Lord uses evil spirits to fulfill his purpose. So this evil spirit, and it were specifically told from the Lord, came upon Saul. Saul was miserable, and Saul's servants suggested that they bring in someone who could play the harp, and the playing of the harp would soothe Saul. That shows us the power of music, by the way. It was at this point that someone mentioned that David was very skilled in playing the harp. And Saul's messenger sent to Jesse in verse 19, and they said, Send me David, thy son, which is with the sheep. So there he is again. He's with the sheep. He's in a position of lowly service. He's the future, he's the anointed future king of Israel. And he's still keeping sheep. And then notice verse 21. And David came to Saul and stood before him. And he's there as what? He's there in the position of a servant. He's there in the position of a servant. We then read that Saul loved David. And he made David his armor bearer. And whenever Saul became troubled in spirit, we read in verse 23 that David took the harp and played with his hand, and Saul was refreshed and well. But again, David is in the position of a servant. The future, the anointed future king of Israel, in the position of a servant. He has the spirit of self-sacrifice. He has a self-denying, self-giving spirit of service. That brings us to chapter 17. We see the armies of the Philistines and the armies of the Israelites, again on two different mountains, opposite sides of the valley of Elah, and they're ready for war. In verse 4, we see that Goliath comes upon the scene. Has a reputation of being a champion or a conqueror, and he steps forth to do just that, to conquer. In verse 8, we see that he cried unto the armies of Israel. That is, he's taunting them, he's challenging them. And we see the effect in verse 11, when Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistine, they were dismayed. They were horrified at the words and also the sight of this giant. Again, a very perilous time for the nation of Israel. A time when their very nation was being threatened. Then comes verse 12. Now David. Two very important words. Now David. And then in verse 13 and 14, there is record of Jesse's sons, Eliab, Abinadab, and Shammah, and how they followed Saul into war. And then we come to verse 15, but David. You notice in verse 14, and David. So we have now David and David, but David. But David. And then we are told that David had left the palace of Saul. And what did he do? He returned to shepherding his father's sheep. Again, a position of lowly service. The future anointed king in a position of a lowly servant. And he took this position upon himself. He willingly left that palace and went back to his father's flock. And while this was going on, Goliath had already stood before the Israelites morning and night for 40 days. He'd already issued his challenge 80 times. But notice what Jesse says to David in verse 17 and verse 18. And Jesse said unto David his son, take now for thy brethren an ephah of this parched corn, and these 10 loaves, and run to the camp to thy brethren, and carry these 10 cheeses unto the captain of their 1,000, and look how thy brethren fare, and take thy pledge. David was not being sent to fight in the battle. That wasn't the purpose of sending David. Jesse was telling him, you bring them this food. You bring them this food. You see how they're doing, and you report back to me. Jesse did not say to David, here are some weapons. You go down and you help your brothers in this warfare. He said, David, here's some corn. Here's some bread. Here's some cheese. You go down and bring this food to your brothers. And you come back. Comparatively to what his brothers were doing, this was a very menial task. A very menial task. Here's some corn. Here's some bread. Go down. Here's some cheese. Go down and give this to your brothers. But David could be trusted with this menial task. Let me tell you something. If you can't be trusted with the menial, you can't be trusted with anything else. We would be foolish. If someone proves that they cannot be trusted with the smallest thing, you'd be a fool to give them a big job. So David could be trusted in this menial task. As Jesse tells him to do this, I don't believe there was any doubt in Jesse's mind that David will do it. He's faithful. And remember, he's the anointed future king of Israel. David could have said, "Why should I do that? I'm the anointed king. I'm the next king of Israel. You get someone else to take food to them." Or he could have said, "You know what, Dad? They should have brought sufficient supplies for themselves. They should have planned better. It's not my fault that they didn't plan far enough ahead. No, I don't want to do it. Get someone else. Anyone can do that job. Just a matter of gathering the food and taking it to the men." But we read in verse 20, "And David rose up early in the morning, the anointed future king of Israel, sent on a very menial errand. And he rose up early in the morning and went as Jesse had commanded him." So there he is again. What's he doing? He's taking the position of a lowly servant. That's what he's doing. We see that's what he's doing throughout. And then David rose up early in the morning. That tells us that he was eager for this menial service. David was very eager. Jesse said to David, "Son, you bring them this food, report back to me." And David rose up early in the morning. He was eager. He was willing to minister to these men. That's very important. David humbled himself for menial service. He humbled himself in order to minister to the needs of his brothers. He had the mindset of true service. This is what Paul spoke of in Philippians chapter 2. If we turn over there in verse 3, he said, "Let nothing be done through strife." That is, let nothing be done through contention and friction. Let nothing be done through vainglory. That is, with the desire to honor ourselves, with the desire to attract attention to ourselves, with the desire to gain praise. But he said, "Do all things in lowliness of mind, in humility." And then in verse 4, he says, "Look not every man on his own things, but every man also in the things of others." He's saying, be not selfish. Do not let your care and attention be entirely absorbed with yourself and your own concerns. But remember, there are others. And then in verse 5, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." So, we see there the mindset of true service. And the mindset of true service is not about ascending. The mindset of true service is about descending. The mindset of true service is about stooping. Greatness in the service of the Lord is not determined by how high you can go. It's determined by how low you're willing to stoop. And David, we see now several times, is willing to do a menial task. Jesus said in Luke 14 and verse 11, "For whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted." David was about to be exalted. But before he got there, he was very humble. He's on a very menial errand. The anointed future king of Israel, taking the position of a servant, being willing to minister to others, and all of that led him to an opportunity and a wonderful possibility of defeating Goliath. Had he never gone on that errand, he would have never faced Goliath. Had he never gone on that menial errand, he would have never had the opportunity to stand before and defeat Goliath. So he took the position of a servant. He was willing to minister. And what that means is he was willing to tend to. He was willing to care for. He was willing to look after. He was willing to help. He was willing to assist his brothers. He was willing to do this for them. And that brought him to this place of opportunity. Menial service opens the door to be greatly used of God. And we see that here. And it is this menial service that put David in this position. Now notice in verse 20, "And David rose up early in the morning and went as Jesse had commanded him." And then notice what it says, "And he came to the trench." He was not sent there to war. He was sent there on a menial errand. Don't miss this wonderful truth. What brought him to this place was menial service. What brought him to this place was a willingness to do that which didn't appear to be that big of a deal. He was willing and he was faithful in the menial. And he came to the trench. And he did so as the host was going forth to the fight and shouted for the battle. Again, don't miss this. He is serving in the menial, and in the process, he is brought into something great. He is brought into a great opportunity. He is brought into a great possibility. He is serving in the menial, and in the process, he is brought into the opportunity of being greatly used of God. But it started with, take this bread, take this cheese, and go down to thy brethren and see how they do. That's where it started. It doesn't start with David wanting to go to battle. I don't even believe that was on David's mind when he got to that trench. What was on David's mind was delivering that food and seeing how his brethren were doing. So it brought this menial service, brought him into the opportunity and the possibility of the miraculous. I believe we would see the miraculous more often if we found ourselves more often doing the menial, serving the Lord. He's there on a menial errand. He's there as a humble servant. Verse 23, as he talked with his brethren, here comes Goliath. And then we read, and David heard. David heard. Things are going to begin to turn. And in verse 24, David not only heard, but he saw the men of Israel flee. He saw Saul and Jonathan and Abner. And he saw his brothers, Eliab and Abinadab and Shammah. He saw them all flee. He saw them cower in fear at the sight of Goliath. But again, it was in the service of the menial that brought him to this place. He wouldn't be there had he not taken this position of delivering this food. Again, it was a perilous time for the nation. But to David, it was a time of miraculous opportunity. And what brought him to that opportunity? Menial service. Serving the Lord in the little things. Set him in a position to be miraculously used. I can remember very vividly when I was pastoring in Streamwood, there were people who barely darkened the door of the church, and there was a group of men who told me what you need to do is you need to give them something to do, and then they'll come. I said, I'm not doing it. They can't be faithful in a little thing. They're not going to be faithful in anything else. We're not going to give them something to do just so they'll come to church. They come to church, prove themselves faithful, and then we'll talk about giving them something to do. That was a real problem. But it was this menial service that brought David to the battle. The battle that would hold such blessings for David. This battle held great blessings for David. It changed his life. But it began in menial service. David is in the place to be used in a miraculous way. But how did he get there? Menial service. Menial service to the Lord. You serve God in the little things, the so-called little things, and you'll find yourself in a place to be miraculously used of the Lord. Well, God never uses me. Why is that? You can answer that question. Why is that? Again, don't miss this. It was menial service that brought David to this place. And David, when he got there, he didn't view the situation the same way the men of Israel viewed it. He saw it as a great opportunity. Again, what brought him there? Menial service. David had not come to contend with Goliath. He had not come to topple Goliath. He didn't know anything about Goliath till he got there. David had simply come on a menial task. And we keep saying it over and over. It was the menial service that brought him there. And so it is with you and I. David, though the anointed future king of Israel, was willing to be in the position of a servant. He was willing to do the menial. And it was there, in the service of the menial, that God taught David many lessons, what he could do through God. And we see that in verses 34 through 36, when I was keeping sheep, a lion and a bear. God taught him some valuable lessons in menial service. Some of the greatest lessons you and I will ever learn is in the menial things. So-called menial things. There's nothing menial in the service of the Lord. So David had come on a menial task. And it was there, while he was doing the menial, that God taught him. It was there that God grew his faith. Notice in verse 37, as he's talking about when he was shepherding sheep, David said, "Moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine." He'll deliver me. It was in the menial that God grew the faith of David. It was while David was doing the menial that his faith grew. And God would use that now at this time against Goliath. Again, it was menial service that brought David to this Goliath moment opportunity. Don't be offended if you're called to serve in so-called small things. Giant slayers are made in small things. Giant slayers are made in the small things. That's what God was doing with David. He was forming him into a giant slayer while David was serving in the menial. Don't overlook the importance of serving the Lord in the menial. Though it may seem menial, all service to the Lord is great. If you're asked to just bring some bread and some cheese and some corn to the servants of God, don't look at that as a small thing. Nothing's small in the Lord's sight or in the Lord's service. That's what John the Baptist was referring to when he said, "I'm not worthy to unloose the latchet of your shoes." That was a very menial task, by the way. And John said, "I'm not worthy to do that. Neither are we." We're not worthy to bring the corn and the bread and the cheese to the servants of the Lord. We're not worthy to do that. But we ought to be willing. We ought to be willing to do anything God tells us to do, however small it may seem. And you don't have to apologize to anybody for being faithful in the small things. Because you remain faithful in the small things, and you will find yourself in a place of miraculous opportunity. That's where menial service leads. So we need to be willing to stoop in the Lord's service. That's the whole lesson that the Lord was bringing about there in John 13 when he washed the disciples' feet. There's the Lord of Lords, God Himself, willing to stoop and wash dirty feet. A very menial task. But it's the menial tasks that leads to great things. And we see that here with David. So we need to maintain the self-sacrificing, self-denying, self-giving spirit of service. Whatever it is. However lowly it might appear, however menial it might be. David wasn't going to get a lot of credit for bringing the corn and the bread and the cheese. It's not a service that you're going to get a lot of credit for, a lot of accolades for. Just seemed like a menial task. But it was that menial task that brought David into this opportunity to slay a giant. So again, don't be afraid of menial service. God help us never to think that we are above menial service. There isn't one of us here, none of us, that are above the lowest job in the church. None of us. None of us are above that. It's a privilege that we're even allowed to do the smallest of tasks. That's a great privilege. And we need to always view it as that. David was serving others, but it was in serving others that led him to this opportunity to be miraculously used of God. My point is, you don't know what menial service is going to lead to. You have no idea. For David, it led him to that trench at about the same time Goliath was standing up to issue his challenge. May we serve God in the menial. No one's too good to vacuum. No one's too good to clean a washroom. Again, there's not a job in the church we're unworthy to do any of it. And we ought to be willing to stoop. The question is, how low are we willing to stoop? Because that will answer how God is going to use us many times. How low are we willing to stoop? Somebody might say, well, I wouldn't do that. Well, you might not. And you probably won't be used of God either. But if God tells us to do something, we're to do it, no matter how low it seems. People say, oh, I wouldn't let them treat me that way. Well, you might not. But where's that going to get you? Where's that going to get you? Sometimes we have to be willing to be a doormat. You've got to be willing to do that. You say, well, I wouldn't put up with it. Well, maybe you wouldn't. But that's not the issue. We're talking about serving God. And sometimes you have to be the doormat. Sometimes you have to be mistreated. That's part of it. But that menial service will take you into a place of very special opportunity to be miraculously used of God. And you know, you think about it, David bringing the corn, the bread, the cheese, those Israelites, couple hours, would have probably forgotten all about it. But what David ended up doing, they didn't forget. They didn't forget. But it was the menial service that led him to that point. Again, this is a part of the story of David and Goliath we never hear about. But I believe it's a very important part of the story. And it's a part that we would do very well to learn. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us in verse 7.